out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 28th of June 2019, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Once again, we've reached the end of another week. It's time for people to go home and enjoy their weekends and listen to Grandpa Lampshade on their way home from work. Grandpa, how are you doing today?
Doing all right. That's right. Return of Longshanks and Lampshade, a.k.a. Clown World in Review. And yeah, I had a couple of people last week. They missed our installment of Clown World in Review last week, Sven.
They did. I saw a few comments like that in the chat room as well. Mr. Turner, I think he was crestfallen and really didn't know what to do with himself without our podcast. Well, thankfully, we are back this week and we do have another installment of Clown World. This one comes from Los Angeles. Apparently, authorities in Los Angeles have launched an investigation on Wednesday after a video emerged online showing several high school students covering their faces with dark paint and using racial slurs. The video, originally posted to Snapchat and later shared on Twitter, documents a group of predominantly female students laughing as one male teenager's face is coated with a dark paint. The female recording the short clip can be heard calling out, "White nigger," as other students watch on laughing and using racially charged language, with many of their faces having also been painted. "Ooga booga nigger," calls out another girl, causing another sickening raucous of laughter to break out. Now, I've watched this video, Grandpa, and it sounds to me like it's a negress that's actually calling out white nigger. It's a black voice that is calling this out, and they've made this huge fuss about this. Is this really that important in Los Angeles? Do they not have serious crimes to investigate in Los Angeles? This has to be the mainstream news over there. Somebody has painted their face black and used a racially charged word.
Well, yeah, I mean, all crime, everybody knows all crime has been solved in Los Angeles County. I mean, it's basically known as a utopia here in America. Everybody wants to go there. And so they've got all these other problems solved. So they're now just down to polishing out little details like this and finishing up with our diversity utopia that they've managed to create there. It's just, again, once again, it's all Clown World in Review. And of course they tell us these stories. And you know, the narrative is pretty obvious that we're all supposed to be taken back and offended. I mean, these white teenagers said ooga booga nigga, you know, and it's all, of course, it's silly on his face. I was just sitting here before we were airing, and I was remembering back in the day. You know, back in the day, I used to watch the black comedians on the BET channel, and this was years ago, and you know, because I thought they were funny, and one of the sticks they would do at some point in time is inevitable. You know, they would be doing their stand-up routine, and you know, at some point in time they start making fun of white people, you know, and it was, they make fun of white people, they would do their white person imitation, you know. It's always something like, "Now Trevor, you know, you can't do that," you know, because and it's supposed to be funny, and I wasn't offended at that, and I'm still not offended by it, because you know, when they sit there and, you know, of course not all, you know, white people don't go around talking about, "Now Trevor," you know, we don't, of course, but in context of their culture, that's what we sound like to them. That's why the black audience thought it was funny, and that's why the comedian thought it was funny, because in the context of their culture and viewed through that lens, that's what white people sound like. They sound like that compared to the way they talk. And you know, on the flip side of that, for white people in the context of our culture, when we hear blacks talk, it sounds like ooga booga. I mean, that's it. Ooga booga 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 booga. You know, that's what it sounds like. But of course, we all know the offense outrage can only run in one direction.
Well, also, I mean, if they're going to make words taboo, kids are going to use them. I mean, as soon as kids learn that swearing annoys their parents, they start swearing. If they make words taboo, of course, youngsters are going to start using them just because they're going to think it's funny to use them. And that's all they're doing here. Those documented in the video are said to be students of Quartz Hill High School in Lancaster, California. So they must, of course, dox them here. It was filmed off campus during summer break. The Los Angeles Sheriff's Department says they've been made aware of the video and are now investigating the incident. Whose business is this? If it was filmed off campus, what does it have to do with the students? What does it have to do with the school? What does it have to do with anybody else? If it was filmed off campus and just put on somebody's Instagram or whatever, it doesn't have anything to do with the school. But they brought up the school here, I think, just to run the school down and just to dox the pupils and getting the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department involved because somebody painted their face and filmed it and joked about it. And this is insane.
Yeah, what are they going to investigate? I mean, exactly what are they supposed to be investigating? I was just imagining, you know, I was imagining when I read this story, I was imagining the faces of these girls. You know, you get a knock on the door, you know, knock, 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 knock. And it's like the look on their faces when it's like, yes, we're with the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. We got a report that y'all put makeup on. You know, I mean, because that's about it. I can imagine it was probably somewhat like the look on my face when the FBI showed up and was like, we understand you do an internet radio show. Yeah, it's like, okay, what the fuck? What the hell? You know, so yeah, exactly. What are they supposed to be investigating? You know, of course, I guess this is just a line they throw out. Yes, we're investigating it so that, you know, then when the outrage dies down, I'm assuming they'll stamp it case closed, because even in clown world, I don't really see any illegal activity here, but I guess they feel obligated to say they're investigating it because as far as mentioning what school they go to, yeah, of course, it's just basically a doxing. I mean, they can't, since they're minors, they can't just go the full mile and put their names out there. So they go as far as they can. You know, they go as far as they can. So they mention what school they go to because everybody in the school know who it is. And you know, the idea is that once they go back to school, once the summer break is over, they'll have their lives made into a living hell.
Well, it's like, you know, when they go after people for things that they say on Twitter or Facebook and they try and get them to lose their job. And you think, well, what they said on Twitter or Facebook, they weren't saying that at work. They were saying that at home. Like, the idea of policing what people say when they're away from school or when they are away from work, I mean, that's far more than Orwell ever envisioned in his dystopia 1984. We're all supposed to be outraged by this. Students, parents, officials and viewers online alike have all voiced their outrage in a collective voice. I mean, it's crazy, 14-year-old Quartz Hill student Mikayla told NBC4, because this is my generation. And seeing that my generation is doing this, it's kind of like it's a disgrace to this generation, because we are known as the future leaders. One of the Twitter users responsible for circulating the video so widely branded it disgusting and urged the online sphere to help her get these nasty kids in trouble. If it's so disgusting and she is so outraged, what the hell is she doing widely circulating the video? And who told this student, Mikayla, that she was going to be a future leader and that all these 14-year-olds were going to be future leaders? These are 14-year-olds here. They're just saying silly words because they think it's funny. And they've made this huge, huge fuss about this. And it's just the hypocrisy here of saying that this video is disgusting and outrageous and then widely circulating it and making it go viral around the world. I mean, if there's anything disgusting about it, it's this Twitter user responsible for circulating the video. They're the one that should be charged, if there's any charges that should come about this, for circulating the thing.
Yes, but that's not the way it works in clown world, is it? You know, and as far as interviewing the student, I mean, people, regardless even of what they think, when the media shows up and sticks a microphone in their face, you know, the local news shows up and they've got their camera and they see, even adults, you know, and they stick the microphone in the face, they will tend to just regurgitate what they think they're supposed to say. It's why a lot of polling winds up being faulty, because when they get a call and it's like, we're doing a poll, you know, do you think Trump is an evil racist bigot, or are you an evil racist bigot? I mean, they're going to say so many times, they're going to just respond with what they think is being requested them to respond. It's just how people are. And yeah, you bring up a good point. When you see a story like this, a lot of times, you know, people will say, well, why do people spread this around on social media? They know they're going to get in trouble. But as pointed out here, they didn't. They apparently shared it in a circle of what they thought were their friends. Only amongst their friends, there was a social justice warrior or whatever who grabbed the video and took a chance to do some social justice and spread this far and wide with the explicit intent of getting, quote, getting these nasty kids in trouble. What does that mean exactly? In trouble? I mean, if somebody shows up and assaults or kills one of these kids, are they going to be held responsible? Because they're saying right here, they're admitting that this is why they're spreading this far and wide with this intended purpose. So what does how do you define getting them in trouble? If somebody brings bodily harm, somebody burns their house down, will this person who spread this video far and wide be held to account?
Well, it does seem that they are actually living in fear for their lives, as we will hear later on. Antelope Valley School District officials issued a statement decrying the heinous stunt as deeply offensive, describing the teen's actions as inexcusable racist behavior. This runs counter to the district's core values of integrity, respect for the individual, diversity, and community. We are working on identifying those in the video, while including our law enforcement partners, and will take action as deemed appropriate, a district spokesperson continued. We strive to provide a culture of inclusivity and kindness. We ask all parents, students, and community members to share our commitment to compassionate and kind conduct, both on and off campus. How is this inclusive to the students that were actually making these jokes? And why is it any of this school's business what they are doing while they are outside of school? I mean, they talk here about core values of integrity and respect for the individual. They've got no respect for these individuals at all, and they're trying to police them while they are outside of school. It's none of their business what they do when they're not in school. I don't understand, you know, how this school can think that they have any responsibility for what people do when they're outside of school. And they are being inclusive. There's about half a dozen of them there. They're all sitting around. They're all joking. And as I said, my suspicion is that it was actually a negress that was actually saying that, because they are out of the camera and it sounds like a black female voice to me that he's saying it. So I dare say that these, you know, this young group of girls and this one boy or whatever, putting this black stuff on their faces, I think they were being inclusive.
Well, and this, as far as the school goes, this is the leftist push. This is the Marxist push. They want the school to basically have a higher authority in kids' lives than the parents. And that's why they keep moving this. Well, the school is in the summertime, is off campus. They didn't have anything to do with being at school. But, you know, the school is investigating with their law enforcement partners. So it's that's part of a push of like a higher authority for raising your kids than the parents. Another little key thing I think is worth pointing out here, I did a little research just a few minutes before we went on air, and this particular school is 62% non-white. So the very notion that, like, these, you know, they're trying to paint a narrative like there's like five black kids in this entire school and these white kids are just making them not feel inclusive. It's 62% non-white. So to say that the white kids are somehow like oppressing the other race kids when the white kids are in the minority at this school, it's just silly on its face.
Well, this is what we're saying. I mean, once white people do get to be a minority, they are still attacked as being the majority and as being the oppressors, exactly the same as is happening in South Africa. So the same thing we see here happening at this school. Speaking to ABC Eyewitness News, a mother of one of the students in the video tearfully explained that though her child had done something insensitive and stupid, She insists she isn't racist. The anonymous woman added that her family has received death threats since the video was posted online, and they are now in hiding. Quartz Hill High School has since directly addressed the issue to parents in a letter that was circulated on Wednesday. While this video goes against everything QHHS stands for, we will not let it shape our school culture. The letter states, our true strength is our diversity and our unity of purpose in creating an inclusive, compassionate and safe school culture. The school added that it has been having conversations with parents about the concerning video as they prepare to enroll their children in summer school. Again, it's got nothing whatsoever to do with the school. And these parents are now actually living in hiding. It's as if they, you know, their children had killed somebody or something. And all they've done is put a bit of makeup on. I mean, it's worse today to be accused of being a racist than it is to be accused of being a rapist.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's all crazy. And, you know, of course, the first reaction, you know, because people don't know, especially, you know, I mean, people like us, we're at least somewhat prepared. We're aware of how all of this works. But when somebody like these parents, you know, are confronted with this, they're normies, you know, and they have no idea. They have no idea how this shit works. And so, you know, their first reaction is to hunker down and, you know, well, my kid's not a racist and everything. But, you know, of course, they're completely unaware that that never works. I mean, sitting here and saying, well, my kid's not a racist. Well, I'm sure their kid's not a racist. Like you say, it's very quite possible. There was a black kid there with them feeding into it. You know, they were just kids joking around, you know, but that doesn't matter because all that matters is the narrative. The truth is absolutely irrelevant. I mean, that's always about the narrative, as is highlighted here. You know, they just keep regurgitating the diversity is our strength, the diversity is our strength, even though everything, you know, as far as reality goes, it hasn't worked out that way yet. I mean, they keep saying it over and over again, but I mean, the more diversity we get, it seems to me like the less everybody keeps getting along.
The more divided we are. I mean, that's what diversity is. It's division. I mean, they use the word diversity and they use the word unity in the same sentence there. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Diversity is never a strength. A house divided against itself is destined to fall. Beginning on July the 1st, counsellors will visit each class to reinforce the school's value of unity, an official confirmed. That's what I mean. How can they enforce values of unity when all they talk about is division? All they talk about is diversity, and yet they've got counsellors coming in to teach them the values of unity. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. These kids are going to end up being neurotic through being taught two opposing points of view that they're told are the same thing. The incident involving Quartz Hill students worryingly comes as part of an apparent emerging trend amongst teenagers in middle and high schools across the country, with a number of other white adolescents being caught uploading similar videos and pictures of them appearing in blackface and using racist language. Typically, the videos are first posted to friends on Snapchat, but later prompt widespread outrage when they're posted on Facebook and Snapchat. And obviously, as we've said, posted on Facebook and Snapchat by people that just want to dox these folks and see them physically attacked for making jokes. And that is all they're doing. Because this gets so much attention, because these kids have realized that if they say the word nigger or paint their face black, they'll get worldwide infamy. You know, that's why they're doing this. If they didn't make these things taboo, these kids wouldn't be doing this. They wouldn't have any interest in it. I'm sure that is the attraction of it. It's just the fact that it's taboo.
Well, yeah, and when they use the word unity here, but they don't mean unity. I mean, again, you have to always remember that the Marxist left, words just simply mean what they say they mean at the moment. You know, I mean, when we see the word unity, or we start trying to make sense, how has this even come up as being unity? But yeah, that's not what it means to them at the moment, because in these contexts, as we've already pointed out, this is already, I mean, the white people are a minority at this school to begin with. So what they really mean is submission. You have to submit. You submit to the narrative. You submit to whatever you're told to do. You must submit, submit, submit. That's what they mean by unity. They mean keep your mouth shut, keep your head down, because if you don't, and these things always, these things, like you say, they're doing is doxing these kids. They're trying to ruin their lives, and it gets national. I mean, this story came from the Daily Mail, I believe, and this happened in LA. It's a worldwide media story. Well, no one really gives a shit. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, how many people really give a shit? But the whole point is to make an example. It's always about making an example. You will submit or this will happen to you. You'll submit or you will get – that's their version of unity. That's what they mean when they say unity. You'll keep your head down. Now, if you don't keep your head down and submit, this is what's going to happen to you. And when you put your head down, keep your mouth shut and submit to every ridiculous narrative they hand you, every demand that's placed upon you, and you just keep your mouth shut and go along with the program, even though the program is stomping a boot – in your face, but that's what they call unity, because see, nobody's complaining.
Well, earlier this month, two similar disturbing videos depicting a 14-year-old white girl from Fresno, California, surfaced on social media. In the first of the clips, the young girl can be heard declaring, "Who said I can't say nigger?" with blackface paint or makeup smeared across her face. Appearing to be at home during the short video, a group of her friends can be heard incessantly giggling in the background. Another video of the same girl shows her voicing even more incredibly bigoted and offensive language, but this time she was filmed spewing the racially charged rhetoric on the campus of Bullard High School. In response, community activist Stacey Williams posted the video to Facebook, eliciting a wealth of irate responses. "When our schools create a campus culture of hate and racism and act in complicit silence, we as a community must protect our children," Williams said in relation to the video. Where is this culture of hate and racism at the schools? I mean, the schools are bringing in the Los Angeles Sheriff Department and special counselors to every class to force them to go along with this. There's no culture of hate and racism there. And this proves my point. It's the fact that it's all these blacks that can say the word nigger. You know, obviously white kids look at that and they think, well, hang on a minute. How come they're allowed to say this word and I'm not? And especially at a school where, as you say, 63% non-white anyway, these kids are going to be using this word all the time. And then you've got these white kids, for some reason, they're not allowed to use their own word in their own language of English that they've been banned from using. And all these foreigners can get away with saying it all the time. All these famous rap stars can say it all the time. They're fine to say it on Facebook. It's only the white kids that aren't allowed to say that. So, of course, they're going to use the fact that they are kids and can get away with these things to highlight that. You know, it's the emperor wears no clothes. And in that story, in that fable, it's the young kid that points out that the emperor is walking around naked. And that's what's going on here. And that's why there's a big craze of it, because these young kids are standing up and they're saying this whole diversity agenda is just totally naked. It's total naked shame. They should be ashamed of themselves, these people that are actually saying this, because there's no logic to it. There's nothing to it. It's just a way of beating white people over the head.
Yes, it's about submission. Again, it's about submission. It's why it's one of the things that just really ticks me. You see these people on here, like if there's reporters or they're asking people's comments about it on the media or whatever, and these white people have to sit here like they're a bunch of first graders that are talking about another kid cursing, you know, and they say, "He said the S word. He said the F word. He said," and same here, "I would never say the N word, and I can't believe that I heard Tiffany say the N word." I mean, what are we? Are we a bunch of kids? Are we a bunch of first graders? You know, I mean, it's so retarded to see grown people sitting around on TV discussing something like this, and they'd say the N word because this word is so. And like you say, you look at it, you know, listen to any rap song and it's nigga nigga, I kill a nigga, I put a nigga underground. And but that's fine. But you're only allowed to say the N word because taboo. It reminds me of a story I read some time back, and there was a deal. One of these rappers was doing a concert, and he invited, it was set up, he invited a fan to come up on stage and rap one of his famous, you know, songs I hear on the radio. And he picks a white person, I think it's a white girl, and she comes up there and she starts rapping the lyrics to the song. Well, of course, when he gets to the inevitable nigga nigga part, I mean, she says it, and he stops the whole show and makes a big show of humiliating her on stage because she said it. "You're not allowed to say that. You're not." What was she supposed to do? The radio version? I mean, what? what the hell? You invited her to come up and say the song. That's what the song goes. But it is. It's all about submission. You're only allowed to say the N-word. Like, you're a first grade student in the government. The leftists are your teachers. And they will sit there and rap you on the knuckles with a ruler if you say anything out of line.
You know, we had a young white girl over here in Britain, and she had a friend of hers died. So as a tribute to her friend, she put the lyrics to her best friend's favorite song, and she put it on Facebook. And it was by a rapper, and it had the word nigger in it. And she was charged with hate speech for doing that, and banned from Facebook, and actually fined for doing that. Did they go and find the actual black rapper that had made these lyrics? Well, of course they didn't. They just went after the white person. Well, getting back to these quotes that we've got here, she added that online racist incidents bridge beyond social media and soon spread onto campuses. In May, two Utah high school students were disciplined after they appeared in blackface in a racist photo that spread across social media. The horrifying image shows one person, who has since been identified as an adult, wearing a white hood over their head, meant to resemble the Ku Klux Klan uniform. He is holding the two students, who are on their knees, by the neck. Portions of their face have been painted black, and they are all standing in front of a Confederate flag. Nigger Hunting 2019, I'm glad I could fill my tags this year. The caption reads, this is just a joke. And they're policing jokes here. I mean, policing memes and jokes that people make. And by drawing attention to it like this, they cause these things to go viral. And they actually, you know, they draw a lot of attention to these people that have done this. And they get, you know, worldwide fame. You think of these kids, 14-year-old kids, that see that these stories are in the, you know, they're in the Daily Mail. They're in a British newspaper. I mean, they're international internet stars. I mean, that's what the press does when it draws attention to this, and it encourages copycats. As we see here, you know, it's become a bit of a craze now to put on black makeup. I mean, what is wrong with putting on black makeup? I mean, actors have always tried to look like the part that they are playing. You know, we've had white people dress up as blacks. We've got black people. They wear skin whitener to try and look like they're white. Why is it offensive? You would think that they would be pleased that people are trying to make themselves look black. You know, don't they want that? Don't they want us to admire them and emulate them and try and make ourselves look like them? They keep having a go at them for trying to look like us. And saying we shouldn't be appropriating their stuff. I mean, they wear blonde wigs. They have their skin whitening stuff. They try to speak in our language so that they can speak proper English. You know, why would they complain about this? Why would they even be offended by it? I don't think they would be offended by it if it wasn't for this crazy media that tells blacks that they should be offended by it. I mean, just the word nigger. We never even had slaves in Britain. No slaves were ever called nigger in Britain. In actual fact, it was seen as a friendly word. People used to call their pets nigger. And you used to have phrases like works like a nigger, which meant worked, you know, worked very hard. And the word racist, there's nothing positive you can say about that. You can't say, oh, works like a racist. You know, it's a totally negative word, racist. Do you know what I mean there, Grandpa?
Well, yeah, and I was reminded, you were sitting there talking about it, I was reminded several years ago there was a fairly popular movie over here called, I think it was called White Chicks, and the whole thing and the premise of the movie is these two black guys go undercover, you know, and they dress up as white girls, and they have the blonde wig, and they put white makeup on, and of course, through the movie, they quote unquote act like white girls, you know, like, gee, Tiffany, like, yeah. And I mean, that was the whole gag of the entire movie. You know, who ran around and was offended by that? I wasn't offended by it. You know, but yet again, if you flip this on the other side, and you're not even talking about a movie here, you're talking about teenagers goofing around doing goofy teenager stuff, and they're making a worldwide media event over it. It's beyond stupid, but and we can sit here and shake our heads at the clown world of it, but it's actually really, really sinister because of what they're trying to do. Again, they have no problem trying to ruin some teenagers, some kids' lives. They're trying to ruin some kids' lives. Why? To, again, enforce the message of required submission.
Well, they have ruined these kids' lives. A similar incident also occurred in January, where two female students at Brooklyn private school Poly Prep were documented wearing blackface while grunting and making ape gestures. Following the video circulation, the school was accused of fostering a trend of hatred just because they failed to expel the students. One of the girls was eventually transferred from the school, and the other culprit agreed to withdraw. So they're talking about actually expelling these students for making jokes about other people. I mean, the oldest joke I could think of, or the most popular joke in Britain, always starts an Englishman, a Scotsman, and an Irishman, because joking about other races and about other nations is just something that everybody does because they find it funny. And yet, for some reason, we're supposed to now start policing jokes, and particularly policing children's jokes. When I was a kid at school, they used to have all these dead baby jokes. I mean, that's far more offensive than, you know, using the word nigger. I would suggest making jokes about dead babies. You know, you'd have rape jokes. I mean, there are lots and lots of tasteless jokes, but making jokes about other races and other nations, I mean, that was always seen as completely innocent. That's why you had, you know, blackface. That's why you had the black and white minstrels. That's why you had It Ain't Half Hot Mum with a white actor that was sort of blacked up. That's where this blackface comes in, because it's always been funny to, you know, to point at the other nations, point at the other races and laugh. And we can laugh at ourselves as well. I mean, white people can laugh at ourselves. Look at The Simpsons and the way that pokes fun at white people. But now we're not allowed to have a joke about these other races. What is it? Do they not have a sense of humor or something?
No, exactly. No, Marxist leftists don't have a sense of humor. Blacks have a sense of humor. Like I say, I mean, I find black comedians by and large to be kind of funny. I mean, you know, I just do, you know, but Marxist leftists have no sense of humor. You know, like you say, it's just human nature. You point at these things and it's funny, and it's funny to all involved. We can laugh at ourselves and not be fed. I remember I was talking about watching those comedians back in the day, and I remember one of them was like, you know, act like a white person, you know, go home, pay your bills, kiss your dog in the mouth, cuss out your mama, you know, and it's funny, you know, because, you know, pay your bills, you know, and then kiss your dog in the mouth. Yeah, well, of course, yeah, not all white people, but I mean, you get the joke, and the black audience got the joke, and they laughed, and I'm a white person watching it, and I got the joke. I thought it was funny, and nobody got offended. But see, the Marxist left, they have no sense of humor. Humor is not allowed. They don't get jokes. They, you know, you cannot smile. You cannot take anything lighthearted or with a grain of salt or laugh. It's just simply not allowed. And it's like the old adage goes, you know, when the only tool you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And to these people, they only have one tool, and that's to try to intimidate people, try to shut it down. I mean, they keep doubling down with this. Well, strictly by results, if what their real goal is some sort of, I don't know, multicultural utopia, then obviously, if that's really their goal, their tactic of doubling down and intimidating people, threatening people, doxing people, making their lives miserable. I mean, just judging by the examples given here, just going by results is obviously not working, but their only answer is to double down and do more of it. If we can intimidate more, if we can threaten people more, if we can shut it down more, then yeah, somehow we're going to achieve it. Doesn't matter what the results are. That's the only answer they have.
Well, the white kids involved in this, they must know that they haven't done any wrong. I mean, they're bound to have a sense of aggrievement at being punished like this just for sitting around and joking. I mean, we've got black kids out there that are stabbing one another, you know, under the age of 16, they're stabbing one another every day in London. You know, that's what they want to be preventing, not kids sitting around just, you know, having a joke with their, you know, with their other class members that happen to be the same race. Well, to finish this article off here, students of the school staged a walkout days afterwards. That's from this school where the two were expelled, claiming that administrators had failed to adequately address the racist incident. They've already expelled the two people involved. They said, "We left to experience our peers' continued disregard of our humanity. Students of color question why our administration fails to take a clear stance against their behavior." And that was seniors Giovanni Deshaun Connor and Talisha Ward, obviously both black, and they can't even, you know, come up with a sentence that actually makes sense. They don't understand why it is. They just know that why they should be doing this. They just know that they'll be rewarded for doing so. You know, blacks don't actually understand what racism is the way that white people understand it. They just know that they will be rewarded if they say that something is racist. Just this week we had a football match over here in Britain, girls football, and it was the English Lionesses against the Cameroon Negresses. And the English Lionesses, you know, they scored a goal, and the goal was allowed, and the Negresses scored a goal, and they were offside, and the referee said, well, you're offside. So they screamed at the referee that he was racist, and they started spitting at people, and they started kicking at people, and just screaming that this was racist. This was racism that had caused them to lose the match. They didn't get given the match, but the very fact that they started using that excuse, oh, this is racism, it shows they don't understand what racism is. It's the same as that black tennis player when she started smashing up her racket on the court. Again, she blamed the umpire. Oh, this is racism. It's racism because you didn't allow me to win. And that's basically their logic. If they don't win, then it must be racism that stopped it. If you try to talk to them and say, well, you know, sort of using somebody's race as a basis for something is wrong, they'll say, oh, I agree. And then if you point out that actually it's white people that are being discriminated against, they'll say, oh, well, that can't be racism. That can't be racism. You see, this is the thing. If racism was actually what we are told it is, then it would apply to whites. So that causes confusion in the Negro's brain, and he thinks, well, that can't be what it is. All it can be is if I don't get my own way. If I don't get my own way, then it must be racism. And that's the way that they use it. That's the way it appears to me anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's exactly right. I mean, as we've already pointed out in the school, in the incident in the school, at the original incident in the story, I mean, it's 62% non-white. So if there's any racism problem in the school, I mean, logic would dictate to us that it's probably being directed against the white students. But as we've already covered, it's, you know, people that have this Pollyanna, this naive view that once white people are a minority in their own countries, then suddenly, you know, they'll quit calling them racist. Maybe they'll even get like some affirmative action. And then we can all get along because, look, we're not an oppressive majority anymore. We're a minority. And these little microcosm incidents, these little micro incidents that are an example, you know, shows that is a foolish and naive view. I mean, that's not going to be the case. It doesn't matter if white people are down to being 20% of the population. Again, you already pointed out, look at South Africa. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're down to being 20% of the population. It's always going to be your fault. You're always going to be the boogeyman. You're always going to be the pinata that gets beaten. And you're always going to be the one to get blamed and accused of racism. You'll be the reason. You're the reason why, you know, any shortcomings in any of these other people. It's how it's going to be. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much you are the quote unquote minority, because that's irrelevant. That's irrelevant to the narrative. And it's irrelevant as far as their goals. Their goals are not equality. Their goals are always submission.
You know, even when there's no white people left, and all you've got left are mulattoes, it's then the light skinned mulattoes that they go after. That's what happened in Haiti. They killed off all the white folks, and then they went after the mulattoes. And then you can look at Brazil, and Brazil is all miscegenated. And apparently they've got a colorist problem with apparently the people with the lighter colored skins get the best jobs. So they get penalized for having a lighter colored skin. So these people that say, oh, well, all racism will be gone once all the races have interbred together. That's a nonsense. They just goes by the color then. The only way to solve these problems is to have homogenous ethnic societies, ethnostates, just have a state that is made up of one particular type of people, exactly the same as the natural world. Where you don't have cows living together with horses, lions, tigers, you know, they live in their own territory. The cows are in one field, the sheep are in another, the horses are in another, the chickens are in the chicken sty. You don't mix them all up together and expect them to get on. Birds of a feather flock together. And that is the solution to this. And then you wouldn't have this. You know, these kids wouldn't even be thinking of dressing up in blackface. Anyway, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're tuned in to Radio Aryan at Radio Aryan. Dot, 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 dot.